Welcome to the Click Podcast. I'm Dani Watson, a mindset and manifestation expert and founder of The Click, a company that helps women overcome their fears and limiting beliefs to create a life and business that they love. Within this podcast, I will help you get clear on what you want, identify the blocks that are holding you back, transform your mindset and raise your vibration so that you can co-create magic with the universe. If you are looking to design a life that truly sets your soul on fire and manifest more success and abundance, then you are in the right place. Hello, ladies. I am excited to be here recording for you another episode. And for this episode, I really wanted to start talking about beliefs and specifically, how do you start to identify the beliefs that you've got which are holding you back? Now, belief work is a huge part of the work that I do with my clients. It's also a big part of what we teach our students as we're training them to become coaches. And beliefs are so important because whatever we believe about ourselves or whatever we believe about the world around us is going to shape our reality, okay? So our physical world is a reflection of what we believe. So if we don't like what's going on in our physical world, in our day-to-day life, maybe we've got things within our career that we're not happy with, relationships, in our health, those things are often a product of our belief system. And so in order to make these changes, we need to first look at, well, what is my belief system that is creating these certain patterns of behavior in my life? Okay, so I really want to dig into for this episode how we can start to unpack what our belief system is. Now, it's worth pointing out here that our beliefs are basically made up of two sets of beliefs. We have our conscious beliefs and we have our subconscious beliefs. And our subconscious mind, our conscious mind rather, that is the mind that we're aware of on a day-to-day basis. So when it comes to your belief system, these are the things that you can hear yourself saying to yourself, okay? That internal dialogue that you can hear yourself saying on a daily basis. So a great way to actually just figure out, you know, what's going on in your conscious mind is to just be really intentional. Spend a whole day just being really conscious and aware of what you are thinking at any given moment. And a good idea, a good way to do this is to just give yourself a whole day where you carry around a notebook and pen. And just, as I said, just go about your day as you normally would, but being mindful of what you are saying to yourself. And whenever you hear something that you perhaps see as negative or limiting, I want you to write that thing down. And then by the end of the day, you're probably going to have a whole list of things that you are telling yourself on a daily basis, which, you know, you've written down. And I can guarantee that a lot of the things that you write down will be negative. And there is a reason for this, you know. So if you do this exercise and you realize that you do have a pretty negative narrative that you tell yourself daily, don't beat yourself up about it because this is just how we are hardwired, okay? This is just how we've evolved. Back when we were living in caves, we had to be on our guard, right? We had to be in anticipation of something bad happening, of something negative happening, okay? Because that was how we survived. You know, we had to be on our guard. And unfortunately, our brains haven't really progressed much since then in that we are always thinking and expecting the worst, okay? So back in, you know, caveman days, that was a survival mechanism. Nowadays, our brain still operates in largely the same way, yet we don't have those same threats, okay? So we find ourselves in this sort of anticipating the worst rather than, you know, expecting the best as a survival mechanism. But actually, in a lot of situations, it actually holds us back. It limits us in so many ways. And this is called negative brain bias. And this is why when, let's say you're about to do something that's really scary, you're about to step into the unknown, maybe you're about to start, you know, your own business, Why is it that 9 times out of 10, we will think about things going wrong rather than focusing on things going right? Why is that? Again, it's nothing to beat yourself up about if you notice yourself doing these things. It is just simply how we are hardwired, this negative brain bias. And what that means is that if we are allowing our brains to just think about what they want, and we're not giving our brains any sort of direction, they will naturally gravitate towards negative thoughts. Okay? And remember, what we focus on expands. Whatever we are thinking about, we are creating more of. So let's say you have a thought about something. If you think that thought over and over again, you will eventually believe it. It will become an ingrained part of your belief system. And then if you believe something for a long period of time, it is not just a belief, but it becomes a part of your identity. So let's say you start to think one day, oh, you know what, I'm not that great at this. But then through repetition, you repeat that thought over and over again to the point where it becomes a belief. You believe that you're not good enough. And then when you've believed you're not good enough for years and years and years, that just becomes who you are. I'm just somebody who is not good enough. And it starts to become this very generalized statement that you make about yourself across lots of different things. So it might be, I'm not good enough to start a business. I'm not good enough to get a promotion. I'm not good enough to be in a certain kind of relationship. We kind of make this mass sweeping statement that can touch a lot of areas of our lives, and it holds us back in a lot of areas of our lives. Okay, so that belief system, as I said, you know, it's through that reinforcement that it then becomes a part of our identity. And going back to what I said earlier, you know, habitually we will often think more negative because of this negative brain bias. If we're just allowing ourselves to think about whatever we want, 9 times out of 10, we'll probably be thinking about something negative, which means we have to be very conscious with our thoughts. We have to be more intentional about our thoughts. We have to be thinking, what am I choosing to think about in this moment, rather than letting our mind just wander away and think about whatever it likes. Okay, so the great thing about this exercise is that it encourages you to be a little bit more conscious about what you are thinking. So just do it for a whole day, okay, without any sort of pressure on yourself. Keep a notepad and pen to hand and just be mindful of what you are thinking. And then by the end of the day, you're going to have a long list of different thoughts that have cropped up that may or not be a part of your belief system. Okay, just because you've thought something doesn't necessarily mean that you actually believe it. Okay, often it takes repetition and reinforcement for us to actually believe that something is true. Okay, so you might want to check in with some of those thoughts that you're thinking and ask yourself, do I believe this? To get an idea of whether those thoughts are a part of your belief system. And if they're not, this is the great moment to nip those thoughts in the bud, okay? So cut them off in their tracks, because remember, through repetition, those thoughts can become beliefs. You may have heard of positive affirmations. Positive affirmations are statements that you repeat over and over again that eventually, through that repetition, can become a part of your belief system, okay? So we can use these positive thoughts to actually create a new set of positive beliefs. Okay, but the opposite is also true as well. If we continuously reinforce negative statements, okay, so negative affirmations, oh, I'm stupid, I'm not good enough, I'm ugly, I'm too old, whatever it is, if we're constantly repeating those statements, they too can become a part of our belief system. Now, that's conscious beliefs. So conscious beliefs are the things that, you know, we can hear. We have access to that conscious mind. But the conscious mind is just the tip of the iceberg. Okay, so think of your brain as an iceberg. The tip of that iceberg is above the water, and the main part of the iceberg is actually below the water, hidden. That is your subconscious mind. It's where all of your subconscious beliefs are housed. And 80 to 90% of the outcomes that we see and how we act on a day-to-day basis is a product of our subconscious mind, okay? If you think about just the things that you do every single day without having to think about it, brushing your teeth, you know, walking, breathing. If you've gone on a bike, you wouldn't have to think about, okay, now I'm pushing my left foot, now I'm pushing my right foot, you know, unless of course you're just learning. But for most people, if you've been riding a bike for a long while, the ability to do that is because the how you do that is locked in at your subconscious level, okay? It's just something that you know without even having to consciously think about it, okay? So the subconscious mind plays a huge role in how we show up, what we're able to do, what actions we take, and what we subsequently experience in our physical world. Yet for most of us, when it comes to mindset work, we only scratch the surface. We only look at the tip of the iceberg that is above the water. We ignore what is going on below the surface. And of course, when that comes to our beliefs, if we don't know, or if we're not paying attention to our subconscious beliefs, these hidden beliefs, then we find ourselves in these self-sabotaging patterns of behavior or manifesting unwanted outcomes, and we can't figure out why. And we might be thinking to ourselves, well, I'm doing all this work. I'm working on my mindset. I'm saying positive affirmations, or I'm doing the work to transform my beliefs. And actually, the beliefs that we're working to change are only, you know, just the surface level of what we really need to start working on. Okay, so I want to just go into this subconscious part of your mind then, and where, you know, how we actually start identifying what is really going on below the surface. Now, something, or one technique rather, that is super powerful for accessing your subconscious mind is any sort of technique which takes you into a relaxed brainwave state. Typically, we're wanting to access that theta brainwave state. And why is that? Why do we want to go back into this relaxed state to access our subconscious? Well, part of the reason is because as children, we predominantly operate in a theta brainwave state, okay? So theta is a state that is deeply receptive, okay? So we're very much like sponges when we're in this state. So children between the ages of 0 and 7 typically will be, predominantly operating in this theta brainwave state. And if you teach something to a child, they pick it up super quick. They're like sponges. They absorb everything that is around them because their brain is just so receptive, okay? And in terms of us actually accessing our subconscious beliefs, what we want to do is really kind of go back to where these beliefs were originally formed. And most of our subconscious programming is formed in these early years, okay? So by using relaxation techniques such as meditation, theta healing is another great one. So I'm actually a qualified theta healer, and a part of that process is really taking people back into this theta brainwave state through a meditative process so that beliefs at a subconscious level can be changed. Hypnosis operates in a very similar way as well. So there's a variety of different techniques that you can use, but essentially you're going back into these early childhood memories. There's another brilliant, brilliant exercise as well from NLP, which works along the same lines. It's called the re-imprinting technique, something that we train our students in. And again, very, very powerful for helping a client really get back into their subconscious mind and kind of identify what some of these beliefs are. Okay, so as I said, between the ages of 0 and 7 is where a lot of our subconscious programming takes place. And because children are so egotistical, children, the whole world revolves around them, right? It's all about me, me, me. And what tends to happen because of this, it can just be sort of one thing that happens, one experience that they have. And as a child, they will often take that to mean something about them. In their childlike brain, without that adult logic and adult reasoning, something could happen and automatically they take it as, you know, it will be something that they start to then believe about themselves. So a good example of this is, let's say, for example, it's a child and one of their parents leaves, okay? Let's say that the parents get split up and the dad leaves.
as a child, as an adult, we can say, okay, well, that relationship broke down and, you know, they were incompatible and they argued all the time and the father couldn't cope and so he left. But the child experienced that, assumes, well, I'm not lovable. You know, they didn't want to be around me. I am at fault here. Remember, children are very egocentric. So they will take these experiences that happen to them and take it to mean something about them and who they are. And it creates a belief about who they are and about their worthiness. Okay. So it might be the father leaving and a child takes that belief, starts to form of, I am not worthy of love. Okay. Or, you know, I'm not wanted. Or I don't deserve to be happy, or whatever it is, okay? And so to really kind of figure out what is going on in your subconscious, using these relaxing techniques I mentioned earlier, we can start going back into childhood and starting to kind of create a picture of what really went on. What did you hear as a child? What did you experience? What were you told? You know, what were things that went on within your household? So a really good sort of example of this is I do a lot of money mindset work actually with my clients. And again, it's something we teach our students about within the Click Academy. So let's say we're talking about money beliefs and we're trying to figure out, okay, well, what do I believe about money? Part of those beliefs are going to be, okay, what can you hear on a daily basis? What are the things that you're saying about money? So maybe you're saying, oh, you know, it's really hard to make money. You know, maybe you're a business owner, you're saying to yourself, you can hear yourself saying, oh, it's really difficult to get people to invest in me. That is one of your conscious money beliefs. You can hear yourself saying that on a daily basis. But to really start figuring out the subconscious beliefs, it will take going back into your childhood and thinking about, well, what was I taught about money? What did I hear about money? You know, what were my experiences growing up with money? What did my mum say about money? What did my dad say? You know, what was my social circle growing up? And that's when we can start to identify what our belief system is based upon our experiences from those early ages. So typically between the ages of 0 and 7. And often this will give us a sort of a baseline to work with. But just because we kind of hear one thing one time doesn't necessarily mean that it becomes a part of our belief system. You know, often to think a thought once doesn't mean we automatically believe it, not necessarily all the time anyway. So then we want to look at, well, where's this belief being reinforced? And we start to almost create a timeline where we find the root cause of the belief and we identify what experiences have I had through my life that have reinforced this belief, that have helped demonstrate that this belief in my eyes is truth, is the gospel truth. Okay. But what we start to realize when we do this work is that the beliefs that we have, often we hold them up as to be the truth, right? We, you know, say that I believe this to be, you know, incredibly true, entirely true. But remember, for something to be an absolute truth, it needs to be 100% true, 100% of the time for 100% of all people, okay? So if we were to say that, you know, Monday comes after Sunday, that is a truth, okay? If we were to say, you know, there's 12 months in a year, that is a truth. If we were to say the earth is spherical, that is a truth. Of course, maybe not if you're one of the flat earthers, but, you know, majority of people, that is a truth. It is 100% true 100% of the time, you know, for 100% of all people. But often our beliefs, when we start to kind of look at them, we realize that actually they're not perhaps true for many people. You know, we're holding them up as this absolute truth, but, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that that is a universal truth. So taking money, for example, you know, it's hard to make money. Well, it's not necessarily hard to make money for everybody. There's some people that are earning a lot of money, a significant amount of money, without having to burn themselves out or work hard or hustle to get there. Okay, so We can start to actually challenge these beliefs, but before we can even do that, we need to really identify what these beliefs are, which is, as I said, going into the childhood, we can start to sort of create this narrative. And as children, remember, we are just absorbing what we have been taught from our family, from the people that raise us. And again, we're holding these beliefs up as truth. Okay, so I've seen my dad going out to work hard for his money. He therefore must believe that he needs to work hard in order to make money. You know, if he didn't believe that, that wouldn't be his experience. Remember, your beliefs are always reflected back to you in your physical experiences. Okay, my father believed this. Where did he get that belief from? Well, he was basically taught it from his father before him. That's basically what he experienced. When we start going back in this way, we can see that beliefs are just ideas that we have adopted. We've allowed them to become a part of our belief system without even questioning them, right? Without even questioning the validity of these beliefs. You know, especially as children, we just absorb everything and we don't really stop to think, you know, is this true? Do I need to believe this? Do I choose to believe this? We just often blindly take these ideas as gospel and just run with it. And the next thing we know, we're an adult and that belief is still haunting us. That belief of I'm not good enough. We maybe have heard that once from one teacher, and that initial phrase, oh, you're not good enough, or you're not smart enough. Maybe then we had another experience later on where that idea was reinforced, and soon enough it became a part of our belief system. And then as an adult, you know, we wonder why we don't put ourselves forward for that promotion, or, you know, we don't start the business, or, you know, we don't try something, you know, because we think we'll fail because of this subconscious idea that I am not good enough. Okay. And so, yeah, it's really important to realize that a lot of what we have within our subconscious is often not based upon any kind of truth. They're just ideas that we've adopted from people that perhaps didn't really know better either. You know, it's not your parents' fault that you believe certain things, because they wouldn't have realized that they were passing on this belief system to you. And they perhaps don't realize that their belief system is a product of their parents or whoever raised them. Okay, so it's really, really interesting when you start digging into this work and start to really, you know, weed out what is going on below the surface. And from my experience, this was where doing this work, this is where I really started to see big shifts. And I remember thinking, you know, I got to this point in my, you know, mindset journey where I'd perhaps been reading some books and, you know, I was doing simple things like affirmations and journaling. And it felt like I was still stuck, and I felt like I was still self-sabotaging in so many ways, and I couldn't figure out why. And it was because below the surface, I had all of these beliefs that I wasn't even aware existed. And of course, you can't repair or you can't heal what you're not aware of. Okay, that awareness is key. With knowledge comes power. And what's actually quite interesting is that when you start to weed out all of this stuff, you know, it can actually be quite a heavy process. It can be quite an uncomfortable process. And I spoke about this recently, actually, you know, this idea that sometimes doing the work and really, you know, going deep into your mindset is not always going to be, you know, positive thinking and, you know, happy thoughts and, you know, high vibration. You know, this work can be really challenging, you know, especially if they're things that we've been avoiding facing up to for a long time. You know, going back into your childhood, depending on how your childhood was, it can come with a lot of painful memories that you start going back to. And obviously, you know, not, you know, going into anything sort of to do with sort of trauma and stuff, but sometimes, and this is why if you're doing this work, you want to be prepared for it. You want to be, you know, you want to know what the limits are. If you're a coach, let's say, for example, what your limitations are and where, you know, you obviously want to be able to facilitate this work and help a client go back into their childhood, but you want to be aware of, you know, what could I potentially uncover here that I'm not perhaps equipped to deal with? You know, being aware that there may be certain traumas that somebody has dealt with, that when you start going back, it's like opening Pandora's box. And, you know, you want to be, if you're doing this work with your clients, you want to be prepared for that and be able to understand how to deal with people that perhaps have faced something traumatic from their childhood. You know, how would you deal with things in that situation? But anyway, I digress. I hope this has given you, you know, some sort of awareness of, you know, what our belief system is really all about. Because what I often see is, as I mentioned before, just people scratching the surface. And for me, my biggest breakthroughs have happened when I've allowed myself to go deeper, really kind of weed out the subconscious mind, figure out what's going on, bring it to the surface, and then really start to do the work to change things. So if you're somebody who's perhaps doing the work and you're doing your mindset work and you're still thinking, you know, there's something here that's keeping me stuck. You know, I'm blocking myself, I'm sabotaging, I've, you know, got a block here. You know, it's doing this work into your subconscious, figuring out first what that block is. You know, there's no point in trying to change, you know, beliefs or work on a certain part of your mindset. That's great. You know, the bit that you're consciously aware of, great, work on that. But just don't ignore this subconscious mind, ladies. Okay, awesome. Well, if you have any questions on this, please feel free to reach out. You can catch me over on Instagram. I'm Danny Watson Coaching. Send me a DM. You can leave me a comment on one of my posts. It's entirely up to you. But if you have any questions, yeah, I am here for you. And I'm here to help in whatever way that I can. So yeah, thank you for listening, ladies. And I will catch you on the next episode.
If you are wanting to build your own successful online coaching business, make sure to check out Freedom, Abundance and Impact, our free 10-day business and mindset course for coaches and aspiring coaches. To access, simply head to wearetheclick.com and click free course in the menu.